knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys.
I'd like to have Dean in a bird box.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Carry it with me wherever I go.
That's what she said.
What?
Dean.
I don't even know what that means.
Can I pay you a compliment?
I would love that.
All right. Normally, the worst night to watch television of the year is New Year's Eve. It's just awful every year.
Because you hate watching Mark Giangreco and Janet Davies make out.
Yeah, that's part of it.
They should be fined for that.
But they should be. The FCC should fine them for that. But if you switch on the dial, you got Ryan Seacrest in one place. You got Carson Daly in another. It's just an awful night. This New Year's Eve, thanks to you and Family Classics and the Marx Brothers, was a joy.
Thank you.
It absolutely was. I loved watching it.
I have to say, I haven't watched those movies in their entirety in a long time.
Really funny.
And when I did, I was laughing my head off.
Yeah.
At those Marx Brothers movies. They stand up. They were made in the 1930s. And all these years later, they're witty and funny and quick, and they still make a lot of sense. A lot of the you know, the quips and jokes.
They remind me of Airplane, the movie Airplane. It's the same pacing, you know.
And if you really want to get super over analytical, the the political undertones of these movies, that were applicable during the 1930s of what was going on around the world are still applicable in many ways today.
Never more than right now. You're right.
I hope we DVR'd it because we had to watch the Death Star blow up at midnight for like the 80th time.
Well, if you did not DVR it, Sunday afternoon on your WGN TV, we're going to be replaying the Marx Brothers double feature.
Excellent.
Duck Soup and Horse Feathers.
I hope so badly, if you want this to happen, Dean, is that they make this a permanent thing and they bring back Family Classics and you're the host. That's what I keep hoping.
Well, that's very nice of you. I appreciate it. And we do have more planned. We don't have, right now, we don't have a plan on a weekly basis like Fraser Thomas and Roy Leonard used to do.
Yeah.
But we do have more planned. I hope that there's more also, but I only hope that there's more planned as long as we get good movies to show.
Yeah.
Because that's been my sticking point. For a long time, people have said, you should host Family Classics. You're the perfect person to take this over.
Yeah.
And we looked at the list of movies that were available, and, you know, I don't really want to show Malibu's Most Wanted as a family's classic.
No?
Freddie Got Fingered, or some of the classics.
Oh, that's too bad.
That have come out over the past 10 years or so. But we do have some good ones that we already have planned, and some cool things that are coming up. We hope to get the rights. It's all about the rights.
Sure.
The big cable channels, the movie channels, swallowed up all the rights to the really great movies right now. So hopefully we'll be able to, sneak one here and there, and to be able to put it together.
Oh, that'd be so good.
That would be good.
Now, the other reason...
I really enjoy standing behind Fraser Thomas's big chair.
The other reason...
Very slimming on me.
It's very slimming.
It's very slimming.
Wendy and I brought you up today is because, as you're aware, Daryl Dragon, the captain of the Captain Tennille duo, died yesterday. And I said, when watching you on New Year's Eve, you had that portrait behind you of Garfield Goose, and he was wearing a hat that I said, I believe he stole from Daryl Dragon.
He may have. I don't want to start any fights.
No.
Daryl Dragon has just passed away. Right. God rest his soul. Yes. I don't want to talk poorly of the dead.
Can't.
But I believe that picture was predated Daryl Dragon.
Oh, it did? All right.
So I don't want to say
anything.
All right,
that's better.
He may have stole Garfield Goose's hat.
That's more diplomatic.
Yeah.
All right, that makes more sense.
You
ask the hard-hitting questions, Luff. You really
that
do.
That picture of Garfield Goose in a military suit was painted by Roy Brown, who was
TV's Cookie?
Cookie, TV's Cookie. He did all the art on Garfield Goose. He did... all the paintings. He was a commercial artist.
So, Dean, when you guys weren't producing new episodes of the show, of Family Classics, where was that painting? Was it in storage somewhere? Did somebody have that?
It's Museum of Broadcast Communication, isn't it?
Yes.
Because I, you know, you guys got to go to the Bozo show. Bill went twice.
Mm-hmm.
I never got to go, but I got a postcard from Garfield Goose.
Wow.
And Fraser Thomas.
How did that happen?
I don't know. Somebody signed me up. I got to find it. It's somewhere.
Do you think you still have it?
I bet it's somewhere,
wow,
yeah.
That's excellent.
I don't throw anything out.
That's very cool if you do, and very disturbing that you don't.
A postcard as if he was on vacation and sent you a card saying...
No, just kind of thanks for watching.
Thank you for watching.
It was awesome.
I've seen pictures of... They had little, you know, kind of, you know, I hate to break Wendy's heart, you know, mass mailings that they would send out. When people wrote in and said how much I liked the show, they would send a postcard out. And didn't Garfield sign it?
I think that was printed, too, to be honest with you. I think that was a mass-produced, thank you for watching.
But it looked like the goose signed his own name.
Yeah.
It was a different color than the other thing.
If you think it's easy for a goose to hold a pen with wet, webbed feet, it's not. Let me just tell you that much.
Dean, I got one from Jory Luloff.
Oh, God, shut up.
Same thing.
Same thing. Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that about Jory Luloff. The late great Jory Luloff.
Yeah. Oh, I think she's still with us.
Oh, is she really?
Yeah, she's alive.
She's not going to be after hearing Dean
sorry
say
to kill
that.
You.
Jory Luloff is around.
Sorry to kill you.
All right, we'll take a break, and then Dean will share with us his 10 best and hopefully 10 worst movies of 2018. That's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Bill left. It's Wendy Snyder. And Barry White is with us also.
I feel like I'm at Faces on Rush Street.
Dean, was it a good year? Was 2018 a good year for movies or a bad year for movies?
I think it was a fantastic year.
It was, right?
At the movies, don't you?
Yeah, a lot of good stuff.
I mean, content-wise, I think that we had a ton of great movies.
Yeah.
Box office-wise, it was up like 11% over the year before.
Wow.
Which is significant.
Yeah.
So, I think we've had a great year. We've got the Golden Globes that are coming up this coming Sunday night, in which both movies and television for the past year will be honored. Some of the participants in that broadcast may be slightly
inebriated.
Drunk.
Sometimes,
Stinking drunk, I believe, is the technical.
That's what they want us to
say. The medical phrase.
Yeah.
That's always fun to watch that and see what happens. The Golden Globes break down the movies into, there's a category for best dramas for both movies and television, and a category for best comedy or musical.
Yeah.
Which seems like an odd pairing to me, and many of the movies that are in those categories don't belong in the categories. For example, A Star is Born, Bohemian Rhapsody, are in the best drama category.
Instead of musical.
Doesn't that seem like
those are... Seems odd.
Yeah.
Seems like they would be straightaway musicals to me.
I would think.
But they're not.
But it's up to them to decide which category,
right? That's right. When people say, why is it in that category? It's in that category because that's where the producers submitted their project, their movie or television show, into that category.
Dean, here's why it's even stranger. Their chances are better if they go with the best musical category because there's less musicals made.
Very true.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it's musical or comedy, though.
Oh, maybe that's it.
So,
okay, that's why.
You know, I think that, you know, maybe A Star is Born or Bohemian Rhapsody purposely put themselves into the dramatic category so they wouldn't have to compete with Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and some of the others, which, you know, you may not say that these movies are on the same par, but with the Golden Globe voters, the Hollywood foreign press... you know, this is a movie about diversity. This is a movie with virtually an all-Asian cast, all-Asian production team. That could play very well for the Hollywood Foreign Press Association.
You would think.
Which are all foreign journalists, and they may place a higher value on that. And, you know, vote for Crazy Rich Asians, not vote for Bohemian Rhapsody or A Star is Born. Although I think A Star is Born is going to be a big winner on Sunday night.
Dean, they used to say of the Golden Globes that you could buy that trophy, that it was very easy with the Golden Globes to buy that trophy. Is that still the case?
I don't know that they're easily influenced, you know, by money per se, you know, like bribing the voters. I don't think that happens, but I think because it's a very small voting body. You know, where the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences for the Academy Awards, there are thousands of people who vote for who will get an Oscar. There are literally about 60 people who vote in the Hollywood Foreign Press Association for Golden Globes. It's a very small group, and while I don't think that there are bribes per se that go on,
yeah.
There are a lot of little swags and, you know, things.
You could influence
it's easier to swag up a group of 60 people
than
it
thousand.
Is 3,000
people. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's get to... Are you going to be able to do 10 best and 10 worst?
I think so. Yeah, I'll sit through them pretty quickly.
Go with 10 best first.
For the 10 best, I mentioned A Star Is Born. That's my favorite movie of the year. I can't think of any movie that has it all, that's got amazing performances, has got... this time-tested story that has been retold and reconfigured for a new generation. I think that Bradley Cooper and the producers of this movie, Bradley Cooper, the director, in addition to being the male star of the film, did an amazing job. Lady Gaga blew everybody away with her performance. The music, Wendy, how about it? In this movie is spectacular.
It's great.
A lot of people are saying it's their favorite album of the year, not just
it's
movie soundtrack, favorite album of the year.
Oh, wow.
So I think just in total movie making, nothing comes close, in my opinion, to A Star Is Born. So I picked that as number one. I put Black Panther as my number two movie of the year.
Loved that.
Because as superhero movies go, comic book movies go, it's over the top, great. Especially for a character that not a lot of people knew, the Black Panther character. But I mostly picked it because of what it did behind the scenes in the movies. There aren't a lot of movies that really push the envelope and quite literally change the way movies will be made from now on in terms of diversity, in terms of what kinds of actors and actresses can be perceived as leading actors and actresses, and what kind of doors it opened for diversity behind the scenes. This was the most successful movie of 2018. $1.3 billion is what it took in, more than any other movie. And the only color, really, that Hollywood cares about is green.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't care less about black or white. Mm-hmm. Green is what talks, and this movie pushed the envelope. Did either of you see this movie, The Favorite, yet?
I've not seen it yet, no.
Got to see this one. It stars Olivia Colman. It stars Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz.
Mm-hmm.
Olivia Colman plays Queen Anne, who's a little bit, she's the monarch of Great Britain, is a little bit nutty, and two underlings vying for her attention to be her their favorite. And it's a British period piece, but it's irreverent and funny and edgy, and it's unlike any British period piece movie that you've ever seen. It is so clever and so entertaining. I picked it as number three. Roma is the black and white Spanish language film from Oscar-winning director Alfonso Cuarón. It's a slice of his childhood. It's a rather autobiographical movie. So in terms of beginning, middle, and end of this movie, some overwhelming story, it's not. It's a slice of his life growing up. But it's very interesting, and it's beautifully photographed. Such attention to detail. A lot of people have picked it as their favorite movie of the year. I liked it quite a bit, but I made it number four. Black Klansman, the Spike Lee movie. It stars John David Washington, Denzel's son, about the African-American policeman who somehow infiltrates the KKK. Is quirky and funny and powerful and emotional. I thought it was one of Spike Lee's best movies in quite a long time. Put another superhero movie into the top 10, Avengers Infinity War, a spectacular movie. Another one that just raised the bar so high on superhero movies. It's going to be tough for other superhero movies to come along after Avengers and Black Panther, because the stories are so great, the performances are so great, the special effects are just elegantly weaved into this whole thing. I made that number six. You both saw A Quiet Place, think, right?
Yes.
Yep.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was really good.
I loved it. John Krasinski directed it. His wife, Emily Blunt, starred in it, and I thought it was spectacular in every way with very little dialogue. A movie that said a lot without actually saying a lot. Number eight on my list was the only documentary that I put on there, Won't You Be My Neighbor, the Fred Rogers movie about the Mr. Rogers and how it came to be. But everything that motivated that the popular children's series that we all grew up with. It's a very emotional, powerful movie. I put Mary Poppins Returns on my top 10. I was a little conflicted about this because when I first saw the movie, I was comparing it so much to the original that I wasn't giving the movie itself enough credit for being a really great movie musical on its own. And I've since watched it again, and it really is just a really great movie musical.
Yeah.
And Emily Blunt is great, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Angela Lansbury,
Dick Van Dyke.
Colin Firth. Dick Van Dyke steals the show.
Yeah.
They did a great job keeping with the storyline, too, didn't they? I mean, I feel like if you watch the 60s version, you'll enjoy this one, too.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's the children from the original movie that are now grown up with their own children, facing some problems and difficulties, and the magical nanny returns to help them with that. But really nice songs, great song and dance, but without a doubt, you're going to scream when Dick Van Dyke comes on the screen. He's great.
Good.
And number 10, I gave to Mission Impossible Fallout, which I thought, you know, Tom Cruise, think what you want about Tom Cruise. He's a great actor and produces great action movies. And I thought Mission Impossible Fallout was just fantastic. So real quick, my 10 worst movies of the year, and I'll really zip through these pretty fast. There was the giant shark that eats everything movie called The Meg.
Oh, that wasn't good?
Dean, I loved that movie.
Did you love it?
I loved it.
Really?
And I felt guilty every second loving it, but I loved it.
It's something for everyone.
Such a stupid movie, but it won me over. I don't know.
I love a good Sharknado movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have liked to see this movie take itself more tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
Because they took it dead seriously that this Megasaurus shark, the biggest shark ever.
Yes. Prehistoric.
You know, prehistoric was had come back to life. You know, for what it's worth, I put it on my top 10.
Yeah.
Jennifer Lopez, my bottom 10. Jennifer Lopez's movie that came out at Christmas time, Second Act, was a box office bomb. I thought a script bomb. I didn't like it at all. And I made it number 9. The Clint Eastwood-directed movie called 1517 to Paris was the real-life story of those three heroes on a high-speed train headed to Paris that thwarted a terrorist attack. This was such a well-intentioned movie.
Played by the real guys, right?
And I think that was the problem.
Yeah.
With all respect to the real heroes, they should have been featured in some sort of documentary. They were not actors.
Oh.
They stumbled through the dialogue. And really, they took away what should have been a more respectful telling of this story, this real-life story. So I made that number 8 on my list. There was a movie called Truth or Dare, in which a bunch of drunken spring breakers play a game of truth or dare with a mysterious stranger. You're not going to believe it. Mm-hmm. One by one, they wind up dead. can't believe it.
How does that happen?
I've never seen that happen in a movie ever before. and I made it to number 7, worst movie of the year. Jennifer Lawrence had a so-called drama that was out this year called Red Sparrow, in which she was a prima ballerina that was chosen to be part of a special Russian spy school. This is a movie that took itself so seriously that it was just a complete mess by the time the whole thing was over. There was a so-called comedy called Overboard with Anna Faris, which he decides to get revenge on a super rich playboy who disrespected her. So he hits his head, gets amnesia, and she pretends that he is her long-lost husband.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Oscar material. Mm. Probably not going to win any Oscars this year. Superhero movie, or supervillain movie, really, Venom, was a huge box office hit, but I thought represented what is bad about action movies. Nothing but special effects, nothing but explosions, and very little story in the whole thing. Not one of my favorites. Bill, I'm sorry to tell you, I know probably one of your favorites of the year, 50 Shades Freed.
Yeah, I loved it.
The last of the 50 Shades movies.
Yes.
Made my list of the worst movies of the year. Number 3, The Spy Who Dumped Me, that was with Mila Kunis and Kate McKinnon. I love both of them, but the script was so bad in this movie, I had to make it the number two movie.
Wait, Dean, an angel has visited us.
It is. I think an angel just got its wings.
Yay!
Attaboy, Clarence! My number one worst
movie... What's the worst movie of the year?
...of 2018, Melissa McCarthy and the... The Muppet-like puppets of the Happy Time Murders.
Ah, the worst movie of the year.
A dirty.
I'm so shocked
Muppet
she did
movie.
That. I really am.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that about wraps it up. We are so out of time, but we are
Dean,
so glad
you
shared this
nice
with us.
Nice to talk to you guys. Happy New Year.
Happy
and
New
to
Year.
You. I'm Dean Richards, everybody, from the WGN TV Morning News. All right, we'll take a break and then find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. That's next.
And Ryan Burrow is sitting there in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here at WGN.